So I want to read a verse in this week's parsha, which is a verse which should not be all that surprising to us. Well, for a lot of reasons. One is because theoretically we heard it last year. And for other reasons, because it's the kind of thing that sounds somewhat familiar. Vizot Torah Mincha. So that's just the introduction. We're in Perek Vav. These are the laws or instructions of the Korban Mincha. Hakrev otah pnei Aaron lefnei Hashem upnei HaMizbeach. So there's lots of words there. Again, but words that we're familiar with. That this is going to be considered to be a Korban. This itself is very important. That Korbanot do not have to be made of flesh. It is not necessary for only blood to be spilled and so on. So the very idea of the Korban Todah is important. Very famously, Rav Kook spoke about in the future how there will be korbanot made of grains, korban todah, which will replace the korbanot, which are animals. Of course, his reason for this was a completely Kabbalistic reason, one which because he said, and this actually was edited from the original what he wrote to what was published in his commentary to the Siddur. He did not write really a commentary to the Siddur. It was cut and pasted from his other writings. And what he had actually said is that animals will one day become intelligent like human beings. And when animals are intelligent like human beings, then it's completely inappropriate to kill them. But the like human beings was edited out. But it's talking about the Messianic Age when the entire world is filled with knowledge of God. So at that point, humans go up a level, but animals also go up a level, and therefore that's why the korbanot could not be brought, at least the flesh ones, and therefore he theorized that there would be animals. Although he does in other places say that Mashiach will come and build the Beit HaMikdash and the korbanot will all return and everything will be like it was before, perhaps either he contradicted himself, which is possible because people do, or he perhaps thought that there were different stages in the Messianic era, and the initial stage would be with Beit HaMikdash and all the Korbanot, and the second stage then would be with the Korbanot evolving into something else. And Rav Kook really was a great believer, I hope this doesn't come out bad, but he really was a great believer in evolution, because when I say evolution, of a spiritual evolution. And because he believed in a spiritual evolution, where humans can come to a higher and higher level, more refined and more understanding, he therefore was willing to accept a more of a general evolutionary theory, because he saw a world where things do in fact evolve. So, over here, this is therefore important, the Korban Mincha, which is one which is going to be offered on the Mizbeach. V'herumi menu b'kumtso, and I'm going to go into all the details about it, but I'm going to move over to Pasuk Tet. V'hanoteret mimenu yochlu Aaron uvanav, matzot te'achel b'makom kadosh b'chatzer o mo'ed yochlu. So when it comes to the Korban Mincha, it's described with the word matzot. And then, and hopefully this also should not come as a surprise, and this is what I say, and these things sound familiar, lo te'afech chametz, chelkom natati otam yishai, kodesh kodeshim hikichatat ucha asham. So over here we had what should be for us two sides of the same coin, and that's something that I do want to insist, that chametz and matzah are two sides of the coin. You cannot have something which is kosher for matzah unless it had the potential to become chametz. Chametz is only something which could theoretically become matzah. It doesn't work any other way. There is one perhaps surprising view in the Gemara. Generally, we would say that the only things which could become chametz are the five grains. But there is somewhat of an intrigue. What are those five grains? There was an opinion of Yochanan ben Nuri, who felt that rice was one of the five grains, and he felt that rice was something which A, could become chametz, and B, therefore could be matzah. And the Gemara says, we don't follow Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, although one could suspect if we go to our never-leaving problem and obsession with kitniot. So here you may actually have a source going all the way back to Eretz Yisrael. The reason why I find this amusing is that there are some who have now claimed that we need to go back to the original custom of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore we should get rid of our diaspora customs, which, by the way, is a good way of completely getting rid of Judaism. Right? And if you're going to go back, and if you're going to go back to Minhag Eretz Yisrael, again, I spoke of evolution a moment, so this is perhaps somewhat of a devolution. But I understand this sentiment, but I'm just not sure what it means. Does that mean that we get rid of Talmud Bavli because it's really not Torah Eretz Yisrael? What exactly? Certainly, get rid of the Shulchan Aruch, get rid of the Rambam, get rid of. So, what exactly are we doing? And I'm sorry if I am polemicizing. I'm really not sorry that I'm polemicizing, but it's kinder, it's nicer if I say that I'm sorry if I'm polemicizing. But over here, we then find that the custom of not eating rice was a custom of Eretz Yisrael, of Yochanan Menuhri, going all the way back. And I presume that in his town, you know, he was in charge of the kashrus, so I assume that, you know, he said kosher l'Pesach and no rice because he felt that rice was something which could potentially become chametz. Although you could argue that maybe they did eat rice. They ate matzah made out of rice, which I'm sure is exactly what all of you are looking for. The one thing worse than matzah are those, like, rice things which... I don't know what they... I mean, people really have asked you what bracha you make on those, and you can imagine the answers. Okay. Okay. So, if anybody asks you why you don't eat rice, just say that you're machmir for Yochanan Menuhri. Okay. And therefore, we're not eating rice this Pesach. The custom, by the way, if you do want to listen to the shir that I mentioned before, the vicissitudes of the minhag, then I do show a Talmudic source for the minhag of not eating kitniot as well, which I know is very surprising. But how can there be a Talmudic source to something which was made up a couple hundred years ago? But that's why you'll have to listen to it. So let us continue then. Here we just now heard something interesting, and that is that when it comes to the Korban Mincha, there needs to be this element of matzah, but not chametz. Now, I want to pause for a second and speak in general terms, because some of the things that we're going to learn today will be completely confusing. So before I confuse you, I just want to try to make a little bit of sense and see some larger issues that we need to consider. One, if chametz is so bad, and certainly in terms of theology, chametz becomes very bad, if chametz is so bad, then why are we allowed to have chametz all year round? Okay. That is a very, very serious question. I'll give you the theological answer to that, and that is when we leave Egypt, we are not in the position to be eating chametz yet. Chametz is famously part of the celebration on Chag HaBikurim, on Shavuot, where you do have bread involved in it. So the answer, again, at least theologically, would be, and this was the main thrust of my Shabbat HaGadol Drasha last year, which no, was not recorded, although I don't necessarily trust all the people in my shul. I have too many people in high tech there. I know that one day something I'll say, I think I wasn't recorded, somehow will appear someplace else. But the main thrust is that when we get to Chag HaShavuot, then we do find bread because that's when we're given the Torah. God gave us the Yetzer Hara, and He gave us the Torah to be able to focus the Yetzer Hara. Not to get rid of the Yetzer Hara, but to focus the Yetzer Hara. So therefore, we really do go in a process from no bread to bread. So I'm saying that in terms of the general year. So yes, God created us with the Yetzer Hara, and we know various Gemara what happens when they pray to remove the Yetzer Hara, so the whole world. I mean, it's interesting how the Talmud has certain Freudian concepts in terms of the world moving by sexual energy, so the whole world stops, according to that Gemara, when we take away the Yetzer Hara completely. So therefore, God created a world where He does give us a Yetzer Hara, otherwise we're programmed robots and all of life becomes meaningless. But when we first leave Egypt, we need this ability of completely controlling, or not even dealing with the Yetzer Hara. Now the Yetzer Hara is not there. And then until we get to Chashbon, we have the Torah, we have the antidote, so now we can begin to try to deal with the Yetzer Hara in the real world. Of course, then you can ask what happens during the six weeks after Pesach till Chag HaShavuot. Okay, so that would be a question just in terms of this theological model. What we do need to pay attention to, though, is when I ask the question, so why is chametz ever allowed? Well, there is one part of the world that chametz is not allowed. There is one area that, no, we can never have chametz, and that area is an area which is very foreign to us because we never visit there, we don't go there, we don't even think about it, and that area is called the Mizbeach. And even when we have the Shtei HaLechem, that's not on the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was, the altar, was something that could never have chametz put on it. So my question then is, if chametz is so bad, So then why are we allowed chametz all year? So there was really a trick answer there. Yeah, it's allowed all year, but never allowed on the Mizbeach. So therefore, this issue of chametz is actually a Pesach issue and a Mizbeach issue. So that's why right away we want to bring the two of those things together. If we look over here, again, and I say that this should have been familiar to us, we heard similar things back in the second source in Shemot Kaf Tet. Here is where Aaron is becoming consecrated as a Kohen, along the things that he needs to do. V'lechem matzot v'chalot matzot b'lav v'shemen v'rukei matzot, and so on, taseh otam. That there is this matzah involved in that process, back towards the beginning of Vayikra in Perek Bet, v'chi takirv korban mincha, chalot matzot, v'rukei matzot, and so on. That we have matzot as part of that. So again, when we started over here, zot torat mincha, in this week's parasha in Tzav, so what's interesting here is it did add one other element, which is the usual element. Which means normally, whenever we have matzah mentioned, and I'm going to say this, in terms of Pesach, you almost always have in the same verse or the next verse the two sides of the coin. Don't eat chametz, have matzah. Have matzah, don't eat chametz. Those are the things that come together, and that's why this should have sounded familiar. The only difference over here is that here we're talking about the Mizbeach. So it's not just like in the previous times when we're told, oh, we need to have the Korban Todah, we need to have this element of bread, and the bread needs to be kosher bread, super kosher bread. How kosher does the bread need to be? Well, it needs to be matzah bread, but here we're told, lo ta'afeh chametz. So over here we're told, not just instruction to have matzah, but not chametz, and as I said, that's the point which is interesting. In source 5, the Ibn Ezra, just to really make sure that we get it, V'tam lo tafeh chametz, hu yikar b'mitzvat Pesach. He goes, yeah, this is the same as Pesach. So now we now know that there's something about the Korban Todah, about having it made out of matzah, not having it out of chametz, which is a Pesach theme, which what he's telling us is that this Pesach theme is being borrowed over here. And as I said, that's really what we need to understand. And this was the easy part. The more difficult part is going to be by a number of sources which will be a little bit more mystical, and I'm not sure how much to go into them, but we'll at least start with number 6, which is the Rekanati. The Rekanati, you see his dates here, of Menachem, the Rekanati was born in Italy, 1250, died 1310. He is, as far as I know, and I could be corrected on this, but he, as far as I know, is the first source that quotes the Zohar and brings it into the discussion in revealed places. He is primarily a commentary on the Ramban, as is Rabbeinu Bachaye, as we're going to see a little bit further. And even the Rabbeinu Bachaye that I bring over here is essentially a Ramban, but I just like the way that he said it a little bit better. And so whenever you read a Ramban, which is more mystical, and you want at least a chance, so you can then try the Rekanati. You can try, there's other books as well, which wrote on those parts. I have a book from Yitzhak Ben Minako, one of the Ramban students, who also has a commentary on the more Kabbalistic parts of the Ramban. So here, the Rekanati writes, Dabru kol adat b'nei Yisrael lemor, six. Lo tafech hametz, chalkem natati ota. So this is in our parasha Tzav. Kfar Ramazdi, Yisur Chametz, Umisham Teskil. I've already hinted about the prohibition of Chametz, and from there you'll understand it. V'ra'azal lamdu, mikan b'minachot, shafilo shiraim ne'alchalim, l'kohanim, heimatzav lo chametz, shenema lo tafeh chametz chalkam, v'atam yadua ki midat ha'kohanim, hefech ha'chametz. And this should be well known because the kohanim are the opposite of chametz. So what does he mean by that? So what he means by that is that we have a general principle in the Gemara, Kohanim Zrizimheim, that the Kohanim are considered to be people who are very quick and they act in a speedy manner, which means there are certain times that we're concerned that maybe a Kohen will mess something up. So they're going, no, Kohanim Zrizimheim. Kohanim are quick at what they do. So what's the opposite of quick at what you do? Chametz. Chametz is in terms of this Sloth-like. That would be the opposite. So therefore, when you over Pesach, when you think about the chametz not eating, think of sloth-like food, right? Yes, does that help you any? This is In terms of the gluten-free, part of the problem or the intrigue is, we know that there are five grains. We don't necessarily know what the five grains are. So apparently, oats are not necessarily gluten-free, which on the one hand, if somebody can't eat gluten, then they can have oat matzah, and I'll say that as a halacha. But there are those who, therefore, Professor Felix, suspected that maybe oats are not really chametz, because if it doesn't have gluten, so therefore it can't really be chametz, and therefore it's not really one of the five grains. So as I said, there is some discussion what the five grains are, and if any of you really want homework, you can look in the Rambam, who says there's really two grains which break into five there's two categories that break into five specifics. So he has them as two different grains. So as I said, there's certainly homework for you to do. So over here, chametz is the opposite of Kohanim, which means it's the opposite of the entire enterprise of the Beit HaMikdash or of the Mishkan, where there is speed and there's times and there's rules, and we have this general principle, which is Avur Zmano Batal Korbano. It means a korban has to be brought in the proper time. Time goes by, that's it, you can no longer bring the korban. There's actually an interesting discussion in the Gemara, where does tefillah come from? Does tefillah come from the korbano? Does tefillah come from the avot? Like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, did they create the various tefillot? Or did the tefillot come from the korbanot? Okay, so that would be an argument by Shacharit, Mincha, and Arvit. But what about Musaf? So Musaf only comes from the korban. It doesn't come from this other source. So therefore, when it comes to, let's say, you miss Shacharit. So this idea you can make it up by davening Mincha twice, yes? We know this. How can you say that? Avraham, Yitzchak, Batal Korbano. Says, no, that's because of the sign of the avot. But Musaf, if you missed, you can't make up Musaf. Why? Because that's only a korban over Zmano Bato Korbano, which means the rules of the Beit HaMikdash, and I'm going to say this again, the question of where ultimately we believe that tefillah comes from is not a very simple question. It's not as simple as maybe we think it is sometimes. But over Zmano Bato Korbano, the Beit HaMikdash had a clock in it. You know, I'm saying this on a figurative way. There's rules. There's timing. Everything has to go, and you got to move quickly. You can't just be laid back. I don't want to say any bad things about California, but there's a reason the Beit HaMikdash was never built in California, right? This would never work. Okay. So the Recanati told us these are well-known themes. He tells us he's already explained this. And he told us that really that chametz is the opposite of the kohanim, and it's the opposite there of the Beit HaMikdash, and therefore, of course, it can never go on the Mizbeach. Back in Perek Yud Bet, and here's where we're going to get confused, because everything he writes over here, you're going to tell me afterwards, is arbitrary, and he could have said the opposite, so don't bother me. Debru kol adam b'nei Yisrael lemar. Pesach Mitzrayim, michu haya be'asur. So on the 10th day of the month, which, by the way, most likely, according to our calculations, was a Shabbat. And that was what's called Shabbat HaGadol. What did they do on Shabbat HaGadol? Everybody took for themselves the animal. Which is, how do they keep Shabbat? By taking an animal for themselves to prepare for the Korban Pesach. And then we shecht them. Remez la'eser sfirot blima. And he says that the 10th is a hint towards the sfirot, so that should not surprise anyone in terms of the Rekhanati's world. Uv'inine Pesach, Atein lacha klal echad. When it comes to Pesach, I'm going to give you one, piece of advice. No, it's actually one rule which will work. And I'm going to say it again, that you're going to have a very hard time with this. Kfar biyarnu, ki geulat Mitzrayim hayta yidei malach ha-goel, bekoach Hashem ha-gadol. That leaving Egypt was this force coming directly from God. Zeh asher hotseita me'eretz Mitzrayim bekoach gadol v'yad chazaka. And the se hints at this. And therefore, there had to be this element of rachamim when God takes us out of compassion. There needs to be a balance between the midot, which means we have our midat rachamim and midat adin, and their right compassion and strictness, and there needs to be a balance between the two. There are certain elements where we need to mix or to fuse together elements of the day and the night and elements of night in the day. He then continues and he says, I'm going to skip a little bit over here. This hopefully you'll like. Vayitah mitzvah v'shchit, sorry, mitzvah shchitato bein ha'arbayim be'eit tfilat ha'mincha shetiken Yitzchak avinu olav ha'shalom. Means it's specifically asked by Yitzchak. By the way, what is Yitzchak? So Yitzchak would be midat hadin, right? So it has to be specifically at that point. V'kfar yadat inyanan, you should hopefully understand it. So netina hadam al mashkof al mezuzot hu digmat hakrava l'midah ha'hi. Kinyan shenemar v'yadam lachem la'ot al bateichem asheratem sham. V'aytam mitzvat achilato b'layla. Remez l'midat layla. V'al kain lo tetrumenu ad boker v'tam liot tle'esh. So I'm going to skip a little bit more. V'zet ham yisur b'shamu v'shal b'mayim. V'aytam mitzvat achilato al matzat al morim. Shetia klula ki hamatzah remez l'midat rachavim v'maror l'midat adin u'loshono machiyach kain. Which means what he's trying to tell us over here is that we need to somehow, with the entire Pesach experience, create balance. That's really what he's trying to get to. And that's why I'm saying you could say it's arbitrary. This is midat adin, this is midat rachamim, but he's saying that the point over here is to try to create some kind of balance. He continues and he writes in the next paragraph, Shivat yamei matzot tochei, lukfar ramaztiv, ki chametz remez l'midat adin hachamutza. Which means chametz is not just midat hadin, but this is midat hadin. This is extreme din. This is where something from the word lachmitz, an opportunity that was missed, and therefore once it's missed, this is over. This is now destroyed. So therefore, the chamutz, right, lachmatza. What does hachmatza mean? To miss an opportunity. The hachmatza of the chametz is this real midat hadin. Something was missed. V'hamatza. Ramez l'midat tarachamim, that I said everything is arbitrary, and the matzah symbolizes rachamim. Uvinyan haminachot yitper yoter b'gzirat hakel. And he goes, and hopefully I will explain later when I get to the menachot. So by the menachot, he tells you to look back here. By there, he tells you to look back by the menachot. So he has us coming and going over here. But what he is saying is that chametz is midat hadin, and matzah is midat rachamim, and for the Mizbeach, you can never have Midat Hadin. Of course, you're going to then say to me, but why do we put blood on the Mizbeach? Why are we putting, which he's going to say himself, why do we do these things? But as I said, he thinks that Pesach itself is this type of healthy combination between the two, but not the extreme, and therefore Chametz really becomes the extreme. We'll skip a little bit more in the same paragraph. Alkein tzivah bechilat matzah shelo yozuz dat mimidat rachamim zeh she'amru rabotenu kol sheyeshno bebal tochol chametz yeshno bekum achol matzah umikan tavin remez beisur hakrovat ha-so'or v'heven. And now you should understand a hint about why one cannot have so'or ever on the mizbeach and understand this. In Perek Kaf Gimel Lo Tizbach Al Hametz Dam Dzivchi, the Rekanati writes, V'sod Ha'inyan Hazehu Shelo Laharot Bepulotav Lotet Kol HaKoach L'midat Hadin Bilti Koach Hashem Agadol Yit'ale Ki Kefi Pulotu Na'asin L'mata Kach Na'asin L'mala. Again, it's this extreme part of Midat Hadin. Again, the larger issue over here is what we've seen a number of times a Braita at the very end of the Gemara in Menachot, where Ben Azai teaches that whenever we see the connections with the Korbanot, we always find the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Rachamim, and we never find the name Elohim, right? The name Elohim is never used with Korbanot. So over here as well, therefore, Chametz, which is Midat Hadin, can never be in contact with the Korbanot, can never be on the Mizbeach, and therefore instead it has to be Midat HaRachamim, and therefore it needs to be Matzah. So that would be the more general, the Maror, we'll see the Maror soon, that you have to eat together, the Matzah with the Maror, and that will become hopefully very, very clear. In Source 9, along the same way, Kol HaMincha SheTakrivu LaHashem Lo Taseh Chametz Ki Kol Se'or B'Chol Dvash. Again, it's for Yud Kei Vav Kei. It's for Midat HaRachamim. Lashlim Eileinu Kol HaMidot. Okay, lo yavo min hadvarim asher lahem hayad hachazaka kamo hasa'or haromez l'midat hadin hachamutza v'kasha. So therefore, you can't have chametz. Gam lo yavo min hadvarim hamitukim legamrei. You also can't have things which are too sweet. So you can't have too bitter, in a sense, chametz, and you can't have too sweet, kamo hadvash, rak min hamizugim. You can only have balance. So again, I'll say it again. His world is one where he sees this very clearly as trying to create balance. The examples you could have argued with and say, oh, that's arbitrary, why this and not that, but he sees this very clear. Kinyan shamar b'briyat ha'olam, and this is therefore even represents the creation, shitef midat haracham midat adinu baro, ve'im yikshalach achecha yumak vivim chelev v'dam ha'myuchadim lizra'ot olam lefidat echad. Adayin v'er b'zeh, I'll explain that again later on, essentially saying, hold it, you know what? Korbanot actually do have some, what looks like midat hadin, and you killed the animal. You have the blood on the mizbeach, and so on. And by the way, the blood on the doorposts makes the doorposts the mizbeach in Egypt. They didn't have a mizbeach. So where's the mizbeach? Where do you put the blood? So that becomes the doorpost, becomes the mizbeach. Okay, so that was attempt number one. Attempt number two, come around the same time, Rabbeinu Bachaye, who also is extremely heavily influenced by the Ramban, and as I said, part of what he's going to say here is actually a citation from the Ramban, even the Ramban quoting the Rambam, the Moreh Nevuchim. So as much as the Ramban did not like the Rambam's korbanot understanding, he does quote him here. Kikol sa'or v'chol dvash lo takir emenu, Yishel Hashem, you cannot use dvash, you cannot use sa'or, chametz and dvash cannot be put on the mizbeach. Katav haravzal b'sefer hamora, ki minhag ovdei akum shebachol minchatam yumakuvim chametz. Okay, the Rambam says, how the Rambam knows this, how much the Rambam studied comparative religions, he says that in idolatry, you put chametz on. And therefore, our not using chametz, our using matzah on the korbanot, is actually, to a certain extent, according to the Rambam, a response, or perhaps even a polemic, towards the idolatrous behaviors. Now, I want you to keep this...
What does that have to do with dvash?
Because they use dvash as well. That's what he's saying. They use both. And I want you to keep in mind, because there is something very important about this, and then the only question is going to be how we're going to present it. But let me just... A little bit more, in the next paragraph, he writes, V'alderech ha-pshat, ki ha-korban l'chaper bo kol avanoteinu, lulei ha-mesiach v'amadiach, shu yetzahara lo yadam chote, v'lo yotzarech l'korban klal. That what makes us sin? The yetzahara. So now he's going into this understanding, what represents the yetzahara? Chametz. That's the or shebi isa. By the way, you would think that that's the kind of idea which is mentioned multiple times. As far as I know, it's only one time in the Gemara. And it's, and we'll see, he's quoting it actually from the Mechilta. V'sa'or v'dvash hein hein yetzahara atzmo. These things are the yetzahara. Ki ka'amru chazal, and he quotes the Mechilta, le'in chametzu matzah bepesach, tzarech adem lofnot l'bavo mi yetzahara. V'hu sha'amru lo tochil alav chametz, le'in korban pesach, v'korban pesach haya kapara alavot azara shavdu mitrayim. So in case you never knew this. He says the whole purpose of the Korban, Pesach, in Egypt, was to bring about forgiveness for idolatry that the Jews were guilty of in Egypt. So, but what I want you to hear clearly right now are these elements. We have Pesach, matzah, chametz issue. The matzah is actually a part of the Korban Pesach because that's how it's going to be eaten. Right, it's not exactly korban toda, although that is something we discussed in the past that there may be a lot of korban toda between the korban pesach and chag shavuot. Together, they make a korban toda. Okay, push that aside for a moment. Here are the elements that we have: pesach, korbanot mizbeach, where there can be no chametz, and avodah zara. Those are our 3 points. That need to be considered, and now we're going to see how. Yes, and now we're going to see how those points are related and come together. At the very end over here, Rabbeinu Bachaye writes, "V'aldata Kabbalah ha'sa'or v'advash remez l'midat hadin ki yaduah milashon chametz." That these are also things which are chamutz. In which sense? What happens when something becomes chametz? What's the process that takes place? There's a change with the elements over here. So he's saying that Sa'or and Vash are midat hadin, l'fishahim dvarim shiyatsumi mizgam, l'kach him ruchakim min ha-mizbeach. Is that somehow the nature of them have changed, and that's why they can't be brought to the mizbeach. Of course, the question over here will be, what about wine? Wine is also something which has gone through some kind of fermentation process. So why you're allowed to put wine on the Mizbeach? I saw somebody make a suggestion that chametz is a very quick process, while wine is a much slower process. And the wine is a much more of a permanent change. So maybe it's this response against quick changes as opposed to slow permanent changes. But this idea of the speed, which we saw from the very beginning, may actually be extremely important to understand this. So again, give me now another moment. What we're going to try to do now is to understand something which is written in the Meshech Chachma. But in order to understand it, I'd rather first notice something just in terms of structure of the Chumash in a number of places. So much so that this may actually be a rule. Take a look at source number 11. This is Parshat Mishpatim, and we're about to introduce Pesach and the Shalosh Regalim, but immediately beforehand something else is mentioned. So source 11, Uvachol asher amarti aleichem tishomeru, v'shein Elohim acherim lo tazkiru lo yishma opicha. Which means stay away from idolatry, but rather shalosh pamim shalosh regalim tachogli b'shana et chag hamatzot tishmar shivat yamim tochal matzot. So now the question over here would then be, what is this relationship between pasuk yud gimel and pasuk yud dalet? Is this just a coincidence that we have this discussion of avodah zarah, and then, but rather, we're going to have Pesach, and in Pesach we're going to have matzah and not chametz? If again, just in case you thought this was a coincidence, in Perek Lamed Dalet in Shemot, he shemer lecha pen tochrot brit liyoshev haaretz asher taba alecha aleha pen yeh lemokesh bekirbecha ki et mizbechotam titotzun veet matzivotam tishaberum veet asherov tichutun ki lo tishtachave leel acher ki Hashem kana shemo kel kana hu. Pentechod brit liyoshev haaretz v'zanu acharei Eloheim v'zavchu leElohim v'karelacha v'achaltem mizavcho v'lakachta mibinotav levanecha v'zanu binotav acharei Eloheim v'izinu et banecha acharei Eloheim Elohim asecha lo tasu lach. So this whole thing was a clear diatribe against idolatry. These are the things that you can't do. It can lead to all kinds of terrible things. And what's the next pasuk? Et chag matzot tishmor shivat yamim tachal matzot. Which means the juxtaposition between the prohibition of idolatry and specifically eating matzah, specifically the holiday of Pesach, is one that perhaps we would have missed, but there may be a lot to that than we perhaps have noticed. Source number 14. Saru maher min haderech. Now I'm going back to this point of time. This is the Chida. And the Chida writes, "Saruma herman aderech shesivitam." What's the context? The Jews sinned with the korban. They sinned with the cheta egel. Pirshur rishonim shahover ala tarat tzarech shiavo pesach v'yachal chametz shiavo kippur v'yachol v'kiyotzi tzarech zman. Again, shahover ala tarat tzarech shiavo pesach v'yachal chametz shiavo kippur v'yachol kiyotzi tzarech zman. Aval ha'oved avodah zarah berega achad. Who over al kol Torah? V'zeh shekatav siru maher min haderech. Ratzalom al kol Torah siru maher. Ve'ech yitachen asu lehem egel. Uv'zeh kipru mikol Torah. V'lo od el asher tzivitam da anochi v'lo yeh mipi agru shamaun. Yeah. So what he's saying over here is that the idolatry takes a second, while Pesach is a different kind of experience. Now, we need to understand this, because hold it a second. If anything, what is matzah? It's matzah is that we don't let it become chametz, which means, again, there's the speed element over here, but this only takes a second. So what he's saying over here is, and this is, again, the first part of it, when you go through the entire Tanakh, not just the Chol, entire Tanakh, especially in Nevi'im, and you look at discussions of idolatry, idolatry is always immediate gratification. It's tachat kol etzra anan, wherever you happen to be, while the serving of God is one that you need to come up to Jerusalem. When you get up to Jerusalem, then time becomes a factor, and there's lots and lots of rules. That's the other issue. There's lots and lots of rules that we need to pay attention to. Look at the Baal HaTurim in Source 13. V'shem Elohim Acherim, Shalosh Regalim. Remember the juxtaposition between God between idolatry and between God. Lo melacha kol amivazet tamavodot kilo ovid avodah zarah. V'samech pesach lavodah zarah lomer mavodah zarah asura b'hanav asura b'chol shehu. Av chametz b'pesach asura b'hanav asura b'chol shehu. What the Baal Turim just now did is that, and again, he's quoting Gemara. What he's doing is that he's pointing out that there's actually a connection between our attitude towards chametz and our attitude towards avodah zarah, idolatry. And I want you to think about this. Because again, what generally dominates our perception is that chametz is connected to the Yetzer Hara. Which Yetzer Hara? So maybe it's haughtiness, it's self-involvement, self-importance, that we get, in a sense, puffed up, the Yetzer Hara. But there may be another element to this, where it's not just a generic Yetzer Hara. It's a Yetzer Hara to something which is really the most profound Yetzer Hara, and that's the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. Now, think for a second, because this will not be immediately obvious. There's two elements in terms of chametz and in terms of avodah zarah which have similarities to them. There is no law to search or to make sure that there's no contraband in your house other than chametz in anticipation of Pesach and avodah zarah. But avodah zarah as well, there are laws, do not allow this in your home. It doesn't say things like this when it comes to orla. It doesn't say things like this when it comes to basar v'chalav. It doesn't say things when it comes to klayim. There are other prohibitions that can even be asur b'hana'ah, but never came and said, make sure this isn't in your house. The only times that we find that are, again, in anticipation of Pesach with the chametz, do not have this found in your home. And with avodah zarah, do not allow this into your home. So that element may then suggest that there is a certain relationship between the two. What's the second thing? The second thing will not be as obvious, but it's one of bitul. Did you know that you could be mevatel avodah zarah? You do bitul on avodah zarah. Mevatel. No, okay, so let me explain. A Jew can't do it, which is why we're not really familiar with it. If a non-Jew takes something and turns it into idolatry, it's now contraband. But what if they do bittul? And they say, no, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this as idolatry anymore. The idolatry is no longer idolatry. They could be mevatel avodah zarah. They can create avodah zarah, and they can be mevatel avodah zarah. The problem with once a Jew creates avodah zarah, now it has to be destroyed. But I'm just saying is that there's such a concept as bittul. When it comes to avodah zarah, there's a concept of bittul when it comes to chametz. That I'm mevatel my chametz. I don't want this chametz anymore. Which means this mind element over matter, as it were, is something which is interesting. But I'm just pointing out that there are at least two elements of our attitudes towards chametz which may only exist otherwise within the world of avodah zarah. So therefore, instead of just saying, oh, generally, oh, chametz, that's the Yetzer Hara, it may be much stronger than that. It may be that chametz is seen on a certain level as avodah zarah. So now go back and think about what the Rambam told us. What did he say? The Rambam said that on their, again, comparative religion, on their mizbeach, they would make sure to have chametz. So now again, how he knew this, I'm not sure. Now we can look at the Meshech Chachma. Okay. With all this, we can now look at the Meshech Chachma and hopefully understand this. First Meshech Chachma is going to be all the way back in Bereshit, Perek Dalet, which should not surprise us. Vayaveh Kayin mipri adama. So Kayin brings an offering and God doesn't like it. Now, why did not God not like it? So there's all kinds of reasons. He didn't bring the choicest, he didn't bring this. I mean, he's the first one who goes and serves God and brings from the adama. What was the problem with it? So the Meshech Chachma, who always sees things from a halachic perspective, tells us something which may be surprising. Hinech fimu verb Yerushalmi bikurim, the dvash mikri perot kamot marim, uvdvash katuv korban reshet akriv otam lashem, velemizbeach lo yalu lerech lichoach. Lechain lo sha'a el menchat kain shirvimi pri adama, degam benoch bemadide asur bisaor upashut. I love at the end, upashut. This was simple. So what did he do? According to him, he went against the law and he brought fruit. We see that honey is sometimes called fruit. Again, remember, honey more often than not in Tanakh is going to be from dates. So these are fruits. Again, he doesn't bring the choicest fruits. So that, what does he mean? He brings the old fruits. What happens when dates go a little bit, they sort of melt and they turn into some kind of honey. So therefore, what were the non-choice fruits that he brought on the Mizbeah? So he's saying it's pashud. It has to be this. Why does it have to be this? Because we learn later on in the Torah that God does not want dvash brought on Mizbeach. So now you understand why did God not accept it? Because he went against the halacha. Again, that's why it's a perfect meshachachma. He went against the halacha. What's the halacha? You can't bring dvash on the Mizbeach. And that's what Cain did. So that's, and again, you love at the end? Upashut. Right? That's clearly. And then he says, and take a look in the Yerushalmi Reish Avodah Zarah Vatraniti. And we're going to come back to that in a moment. Take a look at the Yerushalmi, the beginning of Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah is Vatranit. What does Vatranit mean? Vatranit means easygoing. Mivater. What does it mean, Mivater? Over here means easygoing, is what it means over here. And as we'll see, that God wants korbanot where there's human action involved. Like the animals that a person actually spends time with in raising it and so on. Therefore, you can't have an animal that's too young. You can't have something too quickly. And again, some of these explanations sound like the opposite of what we've seen before, but he's trying to figure out exactly what things are allowed and what things are not allowed. But now let's look at the Meshech Chachma in Shmot, by one of those juxtapositions that we had seen before, where it spoke about not committing idolatry, but rather having Pesach. Et chag hamatzot tishmor. Source 16. Kasher tzivticha lemo'ed. Hinei b'Yerushalmi avodah zarah b'rosho, amar sheyerovim hisit Yisrael. Yerovim started up with the Jews, and you know what? Let's take a look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi actually is very, very long, and I only gave you a little bit of it over here. So it may be, if you're interested in the rest of it, I can certainly send it to you. The background of the Yerushalmi is the first mission of Avodah Zarah, which talks about a prohibition of doing business with idolaters either a day or perhaps 3 days prior to their holiday. Because otherwise, when the holiday comes around, they're going to say, thank God that, you know, I have this particular thing. And they're going to thank their gods. Thank gods that I have this particular thing. That means the thing that you gave them or sold them that they're now using will cause them to be involved in their idolatry. Let's look at the Mishnah. Lefnei edehim shel nachrim, before the holidays of the idolaters, shelo shemim asrim milasa milatani mam, you shouldn't do business with them. Umisha umashilanu milashol mehen, umahalvotan milavot mehen, lefor lefor mehen, Rabbi Shmuel shloshaya, lefnehim ushloshar acharei masur, lechamamam lefnei edehim masur leacharei mutar. Okay. Dutani Nachum Hamadi Omer Yom Echad Begoliot Asur. Which means now we get into different places, and maybe 3 days or 1 day, Maikedon. Taman Badku Matsu Shehin Osin Tzurchen Yom Echad. Vasru Yom Echad. No, it's only 1 day of preparation they really do, so we don't have to worry about 3 days. But Ram Hacha in Eretz Yisrael, Badku Matsu Sheh Osin Tzurchen L'Shlosha Yamim. So the idolaters in Israel were frumer than the idolaters in Bavel. There they only had one shopping day towards their holiday, and over here they had 3 shopping days. Okay. Vasulim shalashim. My makayim biyosi yahan kriya va'avi leboker zivchehem va'on b'malchut yeravum hakatuv medaber. So, he's quoting a pasuk, and he says, what is the pasuk referring to? And he says, it's talking about Yeravum, who was not one of the good kings. Kevun shemalach Yeravum ha'Yisrael hitchil mefate et Yisrael v'amar lehem bo v'navod avodah zarah. Now, one of the things we're told in the Navi itself is that Yeravim was terrified when he set up his own kingdom. He was terrified that all the Jews are going to be ol l'regel, and when the ol l'regel, he's going to lose them because the Beit HaMikdash was not in his place. So therefore, he had to create his own place of avodah zarah. So, by definition, avodah zarah, because it's not the Beit HaMikdash. So he creates this competition, and now he has to try to woo them or seduce them into the world of idolatry. So here is his sales pitch. Hitchil mifateh et Yisrael v'amar lehem bo v'navod avodah zarah. Avodah zarah v'atraniti. Avodah zarah is easygoing. So hold on to that, and let's just first see what he writes. Avodah zarah v'atraniti. It's easygoing. Hadehi dichtiv. Nalevi v'yehuda nitzev nivakena elev v'namlich melech petocha et ben tival amar v'aba. Chizayinu b'kol mikrov v'lo matzinu makom shemho tival. Ela sha'asa tova im ovdav. Hatora amra uvachoroto mikol shiftei Yisrael li v'chohein v'avodah zarah amra v'yas kohanim mikzot ta'am. That in the Torah, you need one particular family who are Kohanim. Over here, in Yeravam's religion, anybody could be a Kohen. The people who came from any or even the least illustrious families. We say you can't leave this over till the morning. They say it's fine leaving it over to the morning. You can only eat at these particular times. You can't bring the korban and still either own chametz or have chametz or chametz on the mizbeach. That, and this pasuk in Amos that he's quoting is one of the attacks that the Navi has on the Jews. You're doing anything that you want. You're doing all kinds of sins. Why don't you just bring chametz as a korban todah? Is said over here in Amos. I'm going to go on, and it goes on and on and on, showing us how the Mishkan or the Beit HaMikdash has rigidity to the halacha, while on the other hand, Avodah Zarah is far more easygoing. So now, the Rambam, so this is what's interesting. When we read the Yerushalmi, it sounds like there's this lack of rules. When we read the Rambam, it was the other way around. No, it should specifically be of chametz. Let's now continue the Meshech Chachma in Shmot. He says in source 16, so he understands this the same way as the Rambam, that the idolatry was actually a rule. Sorry, the chametz is actually a rule for idolatry. So he's saying what happened over here is that part of Egypt is against what Yeravam, again, you can just say, hold it, historically, what's going on over here? So you know that idolatry had a perception, and the perception was one of chametz is a good thing. And therefore, Egypt, Korban Pesach, and the Mizbeach generally are going to have this non-chametz rule. Again, he's bringing this all these things together. I'm just want to tie this up and then say one more thing and then we'll stop. What I wanted to try to understand today, just again make sure, because I said I know that some of the things sounded arbitrary and some of the things could be quite confusing. So let's try this again. I can start off and say that when I accept the theology of chametz and how bad chametz is, I can then ask, so why isn't chametz aser all year long? So what was the answer that we gave? It isn't aser. It is prohibited all year long, but by the mizbeach. Okay, so on the other hand, what we've seen now, the claim is, on the other hand is, but when it came to the mizbeach or the bama, the place where they would bring idolatrous offerings, then according to at least some of the opinions, they would always use chametz. Why? Was it because specific chametz was needed, or was it just because they didn't want this attitude of having to care for it and to make sure? Because again, just think about the rules of Pesach, and this, maybe matzah is the best rule to understand this. What is Pesach? Pesach is the holiday that all of the people with OCD, you know, are able to celebrate. You know, it's important that they should have a holiday also. But when it comes to this kinds of concept, matzah itself is like the perfect thing. You mix the flour, mix the water, then, okay, you got speed, you gotta do that, everything has to be done exactly, which means it needs this constant human involvement to make sure that other forces don't get involved in it, or that you don't lose it, you don't lose control on it. It's like this totally controlled environment where the Avodah Zarah is going to be this laid back environment, you know, let it rise and let it happen and whatever happens to be happens. And therefore what we're over here seeing is these two opposite things. Once we realize this, then these other elements come into focus. This concept that chametz and idolatry may be much closer in terms of their spiritual DNA than we've ever noticed. Again, going to this, again, on Pesach becomes then this yearly time that we try to get rid of Avodah Zarah. Now, where did that come from? So we saw that along the way, because it was understood that the holiday of Pesach is in order to separate us from the idolatry which we did when we were in Egypt. So therefore, this becomes this anti-idolatry holiday, and therefore the places we find it in the Chumash is always after discussions of idolatry, rather we have Pesach. So Pesach becomes this non-idolatry way. So yeah, in our regular life, we can have chametz all year. Mizbeach can never have it because Mizbeach is anti-idolatry, or it's avodat Hashem and not avodat the korban. So therefore, what we have over here in the Beit HaMikdash, now, and this is what I really want you to understand, in the Beit HaMikdash, we have a great deal of rigidity and many, many rules, and things have to be done in exact ways. What's the microcosm of the Beit HaMikdash? Pesach. Because Pesach has all these rules and things that need to be done the exact way, which means Pesach therefore becomes the Beit HaMikdash for us in our homes. Now you go back to that first Pesach and Mitzrayim, and what do they have Pesach and Mitzrayim? Their homes became the Mizbeach. That's exactly the point. You put the blood on the doorpost because your home is the Mizbeach. So you could say, no, that's a one-time thing that happened back in Egypt. And I'm saying, no, that was an important message to tell us. This is what Pesach is always going to be. There's going to be an element of Pesach where our homes become the Mizbeach. And therefore, our homes become the Mizbeach. You can't have chametz on Pesach, because you can't have chametz on the Mizbeach. So therefore, when we start the first holiday of Avodat Hashem, that's what Pesach is, the first holiday of Avodat Hashem, we just think, oh, we're serving God in the most generic sense. No. We're serving God in this anti-Avodah Zarah way. We're serving God in this very, very specific way, and our homes become the Beit HaMikdash. Just keeping this in mind, maybe the question of the Ben Rasha in the Haggadah, maybe will become a little bit more interesting. So we, in our Haggadah, we have it written as follows. It follows the Mechilta, which is in source 21. Rasha, third line, Rasha, Mahu Omer, what does the Rasha say? Mavo dozot lechem, lechem v'lelo lefisho, tiatzot menaklal, v'kafar bita afakai etake etchinav. What does the Rasha say? Mavo dozot lechem. So what does that mean? So we hear him say something. What did we hear him say? We heard him say, Mavodah zot lachem. Like, what are you doing? Now you look at the Yerushalmi, and the Yerushalmi heard something else. Ben Rasha, and again in the third line in source 22, Ben Rasha ma'o omer, Mavodah zot lachem, ma tareach hazeh, she'atem matricham aleinu b'kol shana v'shana. What is this tircha? What is this? Its focus is not lachem. Its focus is on the avodah. By the way, in one of the manuscripts of the Yerushalmi, the Ketav Yad Leiden, it doesn't write b'kol shana v'shana, it writes b'kol sha'a v'sha'a. Ma avodah zarah lochem, ma hatoreach hazeh shematrichem aleinu b'kol sha'a v'sha'a. So what does the question of the Rasha then become? Why are there so many rules? Why are you so rigid? Why are you people so crazy? Why is it that we have just so many things that we have to do? Again, either year after year after year, or hour after hour after hour, we have so much. That may be a very precise question, going all the way back to now what we understand what Pesach is. Pesach is the Beit HaMikdash. Yes, there are so many rules. There was this this joke told in various versions about different types of Jews who are told that they're really not Jewish and they need to go and do a gear, and what sin are you going to do, you know, that you've always wanted to do? I guess that's what it is, before
So, right. So, depending what the sin is, it tells you about the person. But what one of the punchlines of this was, I would carry in the Erev that I don't hold from, you know, that's the, or one of them is that I would tie my left shoe first, or my right shoe first, you know. So, but you start thinking about the punchlines to this joke. No, that's exactly it. Is that when Korach complains that everybody is holy, so there, this foreigner had a great comment, we're at Kulam Kedoshim. So instead of saying, he said, what is Kulam Kedoshim? He says, from the head to the toe. We're all holy. What does it mean, head to the toe? We got rules about everything. You got rules you put on your head, you got rules what you put on your body, you got rules what you put in your mouth, you got rules what comes out of your mouth, you got rules how you tie your shoe. We got rules for everything. And maybe that's what the Ben Rasha is complaining to, and this becomes heightened when it comes to Pesach. Because all the rules that we have all year round, so now, as I said, now we go completely crazy on Pesach. But my point is that this may very well be Beit HaMikdash living. So think of your homes on Pesach as the Beit HaMikdash, and think of all the rules that we have over here is that now we're living in the Beit HaMikdash itself, and now we're bringing the Korbanot. Of course, you can't have Chametz, and our homes become the Mizbeach. Okay.